In the church, there are people. And since there are people in the church, there will be problems. And since a church cannot work as well as it should when it's having trouble, it needs to deal with these people problems. This has always been a threat to the church. And it's always been an excuse for some people to quit going to church. There are those who say, I don't go to church because of all the trouble. I don't go to church anymore because of certain people in it and how they act. Now, no church is ever perfect. And it's not perfect because of the people in it. But a church can do better. And it can do better if it follows what the Bible says about discipline in the local congregation. Now, when I use that word discipline, I'm using it in a broad sense. I'm not just talking about withdrawing, which we will talk about and consider later. But I'm talking right now at this point about using discipline when it comes to words. You see, there are two types of discipline. There is discipline in word and there is discipline in action, just like in the home. In the home, parents use discipline as far as words are concerned. But if they're really going to do what they need to do, they're going to have to use discipline in action as well. Some people call this instructive discipline and corrective discipline, but actually all of it is somewhat corrective. But at any rate, for right now, we're looking at dealing with people problems in the church by word, by instruction, by exhortation, by rebuke and correction if necessary. And so in this lesson, we want to look at the role of elders in dealing with problems in the church. What is the duty of elders when it comes to settling disagreements in the body of Christ? What is the responsibility of elders when it comes to dealing with quarrels in the church, when it comes to dealing with sin in the church, when it comes to dealing with people who are not acting right and not treating each other in the way that Christians should? What are elders supposed to do in these kinds of situations? Well, to start with, let's look at the qualifications of elders once more in 1 Timothy chapter 3, because we have a very revealing and insightful passage on the role of elders in this matter in 1 Timothy chapter 3. 1 Timothy chapter 3. Now, here we have a list of requirements, qualifications of men who are going to serve as elders or bishops or pastors in the church. And I want you to notice again what the Bible says in 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 4. An elder is to be one that rules well his own house, having his children in subjection with all gravity. For if a man know not how to rule his own house, how shall he take care of the church of God? Now, what does he mean here in verse 4 when he says that an elder must rule well his own house, that he must have his children in subjection with all gravity? Well, if he's ruling his house, then that means that he is making his children mind. He's not letting them run loose, and he's certainly not letting them backtalk him or run over him or be disrespectful to each other or to the parents. He is disciplining his children. He is ruling them. He is managing those children. So he is teaching them respect for authority, and he's teaching them that if they cross the line, then there are going to be consequences. And he is one who knows how to discipline them. He's one who's learned how to talk to those children, and he's learned how to deal with those children. Now, obviously, he's not going to be a perfect parent any more than he's going to be a perfect elder. But he is going to learn in dealing with his children lessons and principles that he can take and apply to dealing with people problems in the church. So he is to rule well his own house, not just rule, but rule well his own house. He is to have his children in subjection, not running loose, not in rebellion to him, but they are to be in submission to him. They are to respect him. And he is to take the lead in that way. And the Bible tells us in verse 5 that this is not a qualification just about the home. That same leadership style that he exerts in the home is what he's going to use in the church. And the Bible tells us in 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 5, by way of contrast, that if you take a man who does not know how to lead and govern and discipline his own children in his home, that man is certainly not going to be able to take the lead in the church. And that only makes sense, doesn't it? Hundreds of years ago, a man named Hugo Grotius said that a man cannot rule a country if he cannot manage a province. And he cannot manage a province if he cannot rule a community. And he cannot rule a community if he cannot even manage his own home. And he cannot manage his own home if he cannot even control himself. We begin with these small areas of life as far as management is concerned, and then if we show ourselves able, then we can progress up the ladder. But if a man knows not how to rule his own house, Paul says, how can he take care of the church of God? And part of that ruling is taking the lead in dealing with problems in the church. Now, I know that it's broader than that. Leadership involves many things. But it also includes dealing with some of these disputes, some of these troubles, some of these personality difficulties that we face inside of a congregation. There are all kinds of ego problems. There are hurt feelings. There are misunderstandings. Sometimes there are things said that should not be said. There is gossip. And there are people at times that, as adults, just don't treat each other right and don't act the way that they should. Do you remember that when Paul wrote to the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians, that he said that they were acting like babies? He said that they were acting like children, not like adults, not like mature people in Christ Jesus, but he said that they were acting like babes in Christ, and he shamed them because of that. They were jealous of each other. They had rivalries in the church. There were personality splits and divisions and contentions in that congregation. And Paul dealt with that as he wrote that book of 1 Corinthians. Now, what I'm saying in this lesson is that elders in a congregation are not the only ones that bear a responsibility in dealing with problems like this. But since they are the elders of the church, since they are the overseers, they do bear a special responsibility because they are the leaders. So let's notice in Titus chapter 1, Titus chapter 1, verse 6, and then we're going to go down to verse 9. But in Titus chapter 1, verse 6, we have Paul again here stressing the importance of this man who is going to be an elder being a leader in his home. And that includes his disciplining of his children. Because in verse 6, the Bible says that an elder must be blameless, the husband of one wife, having faithful children, not accused of riot or unruly. Now, go down to verse 9. Here the Bible says that an elder must hold fast the faithful word as he has been taught, that he may be able by sound doctrine both to exhort and to convince the gainsayers. So this passage says that not only must an elder know his Bible so that he can teach other people who want to know, but he also has to know his Bible well so that he can respond to and refute what people say when they're contradicting the Bible. That's what verse 9 is about. He has to hold on to this faithful word, the scriptures, the gospel, so that he can take this sound doctrine and both exhort and convince the gainsayers. The word gainsayer here means somebody who contradicts. It's somebody who says something contrary to the Bible. So here's what the Bible says, and you've got a person here who contradicts it, who says something contrary to the pure doctrine of Christ. What is an elder to do in that kind of situation? He is to take the Bible, and he is to exhort that man and also convince that man. Now, the word convince there is a word that means that he is to convict him. He is to prove him wrong. Now, the man may or may not accept it. The man may or may not agree that he has been proven wrong, that he has been shown to be a contradictor or a gainsayer. But whether he admits it or not, and whether he accepts that correction or not, the Bible shows that an elder is to be able to do that. Every elder is to be able to take the Bible and to show that this false teacher is wrong. He's to be able to take the Bible and convict him. That means to prove that the man is wrong. Now, there, folks, is a part of church discipline. And if elders did what the Bible says here that they are to do, then a lot of congregations would have far less problems. They would have far fewer troubles than many of them have. This is in there for a reason. Now, elders are not the only ones, obviously, that can and should respond to false teachers. That's the duty of every Christian. The Bible says that all of us are to contend for the faith, Jude 3. All of us are to be ready to give an answer to every man that asks a reason of the hope that is in us, 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15. But elders are the leaders in a congregation, and they need to take the lead in exhorting and convincing the gainsayers. Titus 1, verse 9. Now here's something else to consider. Elders are shepherds of the flock, and they need to consider their role as pastors or shepherds in the flock. In 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 1 through 4, the Bible says that elders are to take the oversight of the congregation. Now, what is the duty, or what are the responsibilities of shepherds? Well, shepherds tend the flock. They feed the flock. If one in that flock has gone astray, they go after it. And they also keep that flock in line. If one of the sheep, or if some of the sheep, get out of line, they put them back. Now, apply that to a congregation. That means that in the local congregation, when a member, one of the sheep, one of the flock, gets out of line, what are those elders supposed to do? Well, they're supposed to step in as shepherds and get that Christian, get that sheep back in line. That is what shepherds do. But there's something else here that I wanted to put into this lesson, and that is the fact that elders cannot and should not try to settle every dispute in the membership. That's impossible. They cannot settle every little disagreement and every little dispute in the church. And they learn that, of course, from raising children. Fathers learn pretty quickly that you cannot settle every little quarrel that children have in a home. Well, apply that to the church. That means in the church that elders are never going to be able to get everybody to agree on everything. They're never going to be able to settle every dispute. So they need to be able to take the Bible and understand the difference between something that is big and something that is little, not based on their opinion, but based on what the Bible says. And so I believe that there's a very important passage back in the Old Testament in Exodus chapter 18, where Moses was sitting down from morning to night, and he was trying by himself to settle every dispute in the children of Israel. His father-in-law, Jethro, came along and said, "What you're doing is not good. You're going to wear yourself out, and this is too much work for any man." So he said, "What you need to do is to delegate some of this to other people." And wise elders, of course, see that they need to deal with the bigger matters and let the people solve by themselves as much as they can some of the other matters that they have difficulties with. Elders have a huge responsibility in discipline in the local congregation. And in the next lesson, we're going to talk about preachers and their role in this matter.